Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but does not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It's a shame we link this passage, this beautiful writing of Paul, so often to weddings. If you can believe it, it's the number one that's requested. What would you like read? You know that love is patient, part from the Bible, that one that we want. Because what we've done in our society is we've taken this beautiful passage of love of Paul's and we've turned it into this romantic love statement. But I want to back us up to really look at what this is. And it's not at all saying it's not appropriate for weddings. It is beautiful for weddings. It is beautiful words of Paul to speak. But if we back up and we look at the context of this passage for a minute, and we look, this is right at 13 verse 1. And if we look at chapter 12 of what leads into this, we look at Paul who is talking to a fractured community in Corinth. Corinth, where he has come and he has started a church and then he has gone on to the next place. And when he left Corinth, Corinth had all sorts of problems. They were having problems because they were struggling to get along. They were trying to see how one was greater than the other, and I have this gift, and you only have this gift, and I'm a leader, and you're not, and I've got prophecy, and this, and it was really tearing the church and tearing the community apart. And so in chapter 12, Paul starts talking to them about disunity in the body and unity in the body and how important it is to have unity of people, how important it is to get along and see themselves as one community and not as the set of individuals and not to see one as greater than the others, but to see them all as equal in the eyes of God. And so after Paul has given this lesson in unity and why it's important, then he launches in to this beautiful poetry on what love is. You see, Paul wasn't talking about a romantic love between a husband and wife. He wasn't even talking about this intimate love within families. Paul was talking about love from one human being to another, of how it is that we are called to live with one another and to treat one another. Now, why does this become important today as we look at what today is? And yes, Mother's Day, we are called to love our mothers as best we can and be loved as mothers. But also, today in the church calendar is Ascension Sunday. What is Ascension Sunday? Ascension Sunday is 40 days after Easter when Jesus, who had his time back, you know, he resurrected and then he was back and they're like, yes, he's back. We get to keep him. Look, he didn't die. But then Jesus says, all right, but I was only back for a short time and now I get to go back with the Father. And the day of the Ascension is the day that Jesus ascended back up to be with the Father. Now, Jesus is giving them warning of this and prepping them on this as we get into our passage of this morning out of the Gospel of John. Jesus is preparing his disciples to realize that he's leaving, and here he's got this long and beautiful prayer, and he's saying in it that I'm going to be leaving, but it's going to be okay because I am going to leave a piece of me with you. Did you hear this in chapter 23? Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. anyone who loves me and keeps my commands. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all commandments? Here they thought they were going to trip him up in this, trying to say, oh, this of the Ten Commandments is the most important. But what does Jesus say? He says the most important command is twofold. Number one, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your body, with all everything that you have. Love God. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus says the top command is the realization of how deeply God loves us. To realize this unconditional, perfect love that God has for us. That perfect love that was proved last week as we talked about amazing grace, as we talked about what God did on the cross to be able to heal our relationship with him and keep us in perfect relationship, that sin could not break it and come between us. That's God's ultimate love for us, that he says, I give you absolutely everything you could need. I provide it for you, and I give it straight to you as my gift. And then he says, all I ask for in return is that you love me. God says, and I know how difficult that is. God says, I know that you can't love me unconditionally. I know you can't love me perfectly in the same way that I do, because I know you are human, and I know that you are flawed, and I know that you're going to stumble, and I am going to love you anyways. I just pray every time you stumble, you will get back up and keep loving me. That every time you wander away, that you will come back and love me. That you will give it everything that you possibly can. God says, this is what I desire of you. But even more so, he says, I would like you to love me by how you love one another. You see, isn't that what he's saying in this scripture? He's talking about love. Over and over again, Jesus talks about love. And he's not talking about the romantic type of love, the type of love that seems to be the only kind of love we like to talk about in our society. Are you in love? Have you been in love? Do you want to be in love? That's only a fraction of the love that's in this world. One of the shames as we read the Bible is that so many words are translated into love, but it's like six different Greek words that all translate to love. Yes, there is eros, which is that romantic love, but there's agape love, which is a love that is just between us and God. And there's philo love, the kind of brotherly love that is how we in this place all love one another. It can't be confused with a romantic love. It can't be confused with the way I love my kids or I love my parents, but it's the kind of love that we share that God desires above all others. He says it through Paul because he desires for us to love one another as each creation being unique and worthy. With Bible study this week, as we looked at this passage, I asked for their permission to see if we could substitute the word love, trying to put it into the kind of terms that we might be able to understand, that we might be able to link into the type of love that we can have for a stranger that walks into the door. Because we tend to have a tough one, that stranger that walks into the door that I don't know, how am I supposed to use a word like love with them the same way I do with people I've known all my life and have had a deep relationship with? And so I took the acceptable, what I believe, substitution, and I have scholars to back it up. This isn't just me going off book. But to try to translate instead of love into compassion. Of how we have compassion for one another. And let's hear it this way. See if this works for you. Compassion is patient. Compassion is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Compassion does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Compassion never fails. It's hard to argue that we can't do that stuff for a stranger. that we can't be patient and kind, that we can cease being envious and boastful to a stranger, that if we look at our neighbor as the person we're called to love, the neighbor being anyone we run into on the street, to be able to have that kind of love for, that God says builds the body of Christ, bring peace into this world, brings unity within us when we treat each other in such a way. I shared with Bible study on Wednesday that when you go into the Hebrew Bible and you look at the Hebrew word for compassion, you see that it shares the same root word as womb, okay? What is a womb? A womb is a place where new things are birthed, right? New things come into being. Well, think about that. Every act of compassion that I make and take can birth something new and can be the start of something with hope. When I smile at a stranger, when I hold the door for them, when I treat them with kindness, when I give them my patience, when I hold my tongue instead of judging or using inappropriate thoughts, I'm giving hope to that person. I'm creating the possibility that new life can spring forth from it. Because what happens when I love somebody through compassion is I can restore humanity to them. And more importantly, as I look at the scripture for today, what happens when I have that kind of love for a neighbor, that kind of love that can be shared to any person? I said it once already, but what did Jesus say? Anybody who loves in that way by following the teachings, my Father and I will come to them and make our home with them. It makes me think of one of my beloved movies, The Lion King. I don't know if you've seen The Lion King. It's wonderful. If you haven't, go out and rent it and watch it today. But in The Lion King, Dad is Mufasa. Mufasa is the king lion of the jungle, right? I mean, he is the head honcho that everybody loves and respects except for his brother that wants his job. And Simba is his young son. And Mufasa's brother Scar tricks Simba, the young son, into believing that he has caused the death of his father in a stampede. And so young Simba runs off to go live in another part of the jungle out of shame and belief that he would be hated and rejected by the community. And Scar takes over and decimates the pride, decimates the land out of his selfish way of leading. Well, Simba grows up and becomes a man elsewhere, and eventually his childhood friend Nala comes out looking for him, seeking him, believing that the hope of the pride, the hope of the land, resides in him coming back and taking over leadership from Scar and restoring peace. And so when Nala tracks Simba down, he says, I can't be that. I can't be who you think you need me to be. And eventually, she asks him to look at his reflection in the water. And what does he see when he looks in it? But he sees that he is the spitting image of his father. He sees and has to be told that his father is inside of him. And he has the capability of going back and being a leader because of Mufasa being inside of him. And God, through Jesus, is saying just that. When you hold my commands, when you seek to love me and you seek to love my neighbor, I am inside of you. That love are the seeds planted by me that are shining through you. To be able to see at the beginning of the day, as we challenge ourselves to see how we can be more loving to all people around us, to first look in the mirror, to see past our image and see the image of Christ within us, saying, I am in you and I have the capability of living through you if you will allow me to guide you. For 90% of the love that's in this world is how we treat all people, how we treat the person sitting next to us, how we treat the person standing in line with us, how we treat the person serving us, how we treat the stranger on the street. For Jesus says, each one of these is also me, and how you treat them is how you treat me. God's love for us is absolutely amazing. And in just the same way, our love for one another is absolutely amazing when we allow Christ to love through us. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the way that you unconditionally love us, for the way that you stepped down out of heaven and came to this earth to dwell with us. You loved us so much that on the ascension, you allowed Jesus to go back up to heaven, knowing that we could pick up where he left off, that we could continue his ministry, that we could continue to love and serve the world in the same way he did. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, that you will empower us to see you in us, and that you will empower us to be able to see you in each person who crosses our path. May your amazing love shine through us, and may our compassion through our patience and kindness and unfailing love spring forth new life in the world around us. For this is your call and your command for us, and we desire to follow in all your ways. For this we pray in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.